Holly.
Hey, Dave.
What's going on today on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
I'm feeling sawsome today, Dave. How are you?
Did you say sawsome?
I'm feeling sawsome because I am feeling awesome that we are speaking to Nick Mason from Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets. Saucer, awesome, sawsome.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Nick Mason is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame drummer for Pink Floyd.
Nick Mason's taking the bull by the horns and playing, well, hey, what about this early stuff? It's pretty good. So he is taking a band and playing these early albums from 67 to 72.
This is not just any band. This is a band made up of Guy Pratt, Gary Kemp, Lee Harris, and Dom Beacon.
They're so good, we should get them on the podcast.
I'm thinking that maybe next week we could talk to Gary Kemp again and Guy Pratt.
But in the meantime, can you tell us other ways that our listeners can connect with the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
Check us out on YouTube at What Difference Does It Make podcast and on all other social media at WDDIM podcast.
All right, well, let's just get right into it now. This is Hall of Fame rock and roll drummer Nick Mason of Pink Floyd and Saucer Full of Secrets on the What Difference Does It Make podcast. Hi, Nick Mason. Welcome to the podcast. My first hard-hitting question is this. Why Saucer Full of Secrets instead of Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which is a totally cool band name?
Yeah, Piper's at the Gates of Dawn would have been rather good. I think mainly because it indicates that we're sort of crossing over between the Syd Barrett thing and what we went on to do after that. And also, I guess, because it's probably my favorite Floyd album of all anyway.
Why is that? That's kind of a weird point in Pink Floyd's early career.
Well, I think it sort of sets out an idea of where we're going to with the title track in particular, but it also contains Set the Controls, which is one of the most interesting songs in the entire Floyd repertoire for a drummer to play using the mallets and so on. I also think the Goodbye to Syd, the track with the brass band on, is just still so moving and so just fits Syd leaving really well.
Okay, so you want to, Dave, you think there are a lot of band names to choose. Think about the music. So you're talking about eight albums pre-Dark Side that you're choosing music from. How do you choose the music?
Well, not too difficult. But to start with, what we did was we sat down, the five of us sat down and all wrote down our sort of favorite songs. And then we took all the songs that everyone had voted for. We sort of worked like that most of the way through till we got to slightly more complicated things where maybe three people liked it, two didn't. But the three people would give it a go. And that's what's interesting. You just start trying to play it and see whether it begins to come together or everyone goes, this is really embarrassing.
Oh, I want to know the embarrassing moments. Who embarrassed and which songs?
I couldn't possibly tell you. I can tell you that Chapter 24 is one of my favorite Floyd songs, but it was booted out because there's no drum part on it.
So how does it get to be a drummer's favorite song?
I just really like the song and I remembered it and I was sure it did have a drum part on it. So until I actually can invent something that would work, it's off the list, I'm afraid.
All movement is accomplished in six stages, and the seventh brings return. The seven is the number of the
That brings up an interesting point. Did you watch Get Back, the documentary, the Beatles documentary?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
During the documentary, you know, you watch Paul and John kind of hash out a song, or you, there was one point where Paul's trying to actually, he's starting to play Get Back, and Ringo's just sitting there and very, very patient. He doesn't say anything much. He's just there, yeah, and just kind of observing what's going on. And then all of a sudden slowly comes together. And then, you know, Ringo gets an idea and steps behind the drum kit. I kind of get the feeling that's what, is that kind of how it worked with Floyd? How'd you find your part?
Yeah, well, there are different songs were written in different ways, but certainly in the studio. Yes, that's something someone pointed out to me. They said, what is similar is that no one's telling Ringo what to do. And that was the same for me. The others never really told me what they thought should happen. It was left to me to do what I thought was right for it. And I did like Charlie Watts describing being in the Rolling Stones. He said, basically, it was something like 2 years work and 40 years waiting around.
Actually, I didn't think I realized this, but in the 60s, and actually in the early 70s, you were pumping out these albums, one or two a year. It was crazy. You don't think of that with Pink Floyd. You think of them, you know, meticulously, like just waiting for that perfect moment and just to be patient, and, you know, but that was not the case.
People got through a lot of work in those days, and then by the time we got to later on, I can't remember how long it took Fleetwood Mac to make Tusk, but it was something monumental, like sort of 3 years of mainly sitting around in the studio waiting for an idea to come by.
So how long did this band, how long did you percolate on this? This band you started in 2018.
The time scale for it was Lee going to see Guy, then coming to see me, which must have taken a week, and then an agreement to go and rent a rehearsal studio the week after. So it didn't take very long to sort of get started on it.
Wow. Dave, you want to start a band?
Yeah. No, right? Yeah. But are you surprised by what comes out? I mean, you know, it's clearly not Roger Waters and David Gilmour. You know, it's not the guys, but it's you have some amazing musicians. Are you surprised by the sound that is created on stage?
Totally, completely. I really didn't know what to expect. And on that basis, I didn't invest heavily in it. We only took 2 days of rehearsal studio time, which is not expensive. But what was great was that I would think by the end of the first day, we all went, this is definitely going to work. We like it. It just went from there. And well, I wouldn't really feel comfortable listening to the first gig we did, but it seemed to go very well. Now it sounds pretty average, but it's amazing with the good musicians how quickly you can turn it into something really good.
You mean the first gig sounded pretty average, not yeah. Now
yeah. now we think we've got the hang of it now.
Yeah, and so what is it like to, as a drummer, usually they loom in the background? I mean, Floyd is not known for their personality, you know, it's just the musicianship for the most part. Now you're the main focus. It's Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets. Yeah, finally. Right?
I'm the leader. Yes. It's fantastic. I realize why Roger is how he is. I'm trying to learn.
So you'll be front and center when we see you.
Absolutely. Probably out in the audience, indeed.
Are the drums out front, or where do you place yourself?
No, sort of, we're not going mad here.
Okay.
Well, who had a drum kit suspended from the ceiling? Oh, Tommy.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, we're not going there.
All right.
Can assure you.
Some spinning.
No Grateful Dead 30-minute drum solos or anything like that?
Fortunately not. I'm far too old to do that sort of thing.
By the way, how is your, I mean, a lot of drummers have back issues at this point, and you're still going strong. You're still feeling great. And
yeah. Well, it's partly from spending 50 years not working too hard. Lots of slow songs. That's the other trick. Nothing faster than my heart rate.
Okay, we are talking with Rock and Roll Hall of Fame drummer Nick Mason of Pink Floyd on the What Differences Make podcast. We're going to take a break right now and be right back.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our guest, Nick Mason.
Friend of the show and famed heavy metal journalist Martin Popoff mentioned that heavy metal fans love Pink Floyd. Why do you think that is? What is it about the music that might appeal to a heavy metal fan?
I really don't know. I mean, it's trying to work out what people like and why they like it is nearly always a complete mystery. And why would heavy metal people like the wanderings of Pink Floyd? I've no idea.
I mean, what did you grow up listening? Was it, I mean, you must have been a rock fan, and then you find yourself in Pink Floyd. Did you want, was there an issue, a need to like, okay, I want to, you know, we need a banger or something.
No, the thing is, when I started playing, you know, it was so part-time. It was for all of us, you know, that's how we met. We were students studying to be architects. We weren't wannabe rock stars at the time. I think we'd sort of collided with a period in music and some ideas that were prevalent then that had not existed. There was no opportunity before to do the sorts of things we ended up doing. And that's what sort of made it was the time just being right. And the influence of the Beatles. When we were recording Piper, they were recording Sgt. Pepper. By the time they'd finished Sgt. Pepper and released it, that meant that suddenly the record companies had a completely different idea of who they would sign. And it included all these sort of strange bands who would spend days and days in the studios, which had never happened before.
Well, I'm going to mention, since you mentioned the studio, you recorded in Abbey Road. What is magical about that studio? Is there something in those rooms?
Well, the fact of the matter is the Beatles transformed it into a magical place. Before that, it was a pretty sort of business-like operation there. The technicians had brown coats, you know, jackets that they wore. Designate what they were. There was sort of demarcation, so they wouldn't let us touch the tape recorders initially. And then gradually that sort of melted away. And it's a nice melting pot, Abbey Road, because it's got Studio One, which is this huge orchestral studio, So mm-hmm. when you went down to the canteen to get coffee, you have sort of 57 members of the Royal Philharmonic all having coffee as well. Possibly, the Beatles by then were famous enough not to have to come down and get their own coffee. But it just had a lot of really interesting people working there and being there. And it became special during the Beatles' reign, really.
Well, it's also special for Pink Floyd being there as well. I think a lot of people think,
oh, well,
yeah,
okay,
you know, yes. there is a little bit of that.
Okay, wait, I got to go back to studying to be an architect. Were any parents disappointed?
Well, not mine. No, I think, well, first of all, I actually managed to stagger through to get my degree after 3 years. I think Roger did it. I can't remember if Roger did as well or not. No, parents were quite good, but also we were lucky. I was lucky. I had a year master who I said to him, I'm going to drop out. And he said, fine, you can come back next year. So I had a plan B, which made life a lot easier. And interestingly, one of my tutors was Lord Norman Foster. Earlier this year, I came across him, and we actually worked together on an exhibition in Spain at the Guggenheim, which was to do with cars and architecture. And that was great fun. And we did a whole thing on the noises of cars, which we recorded. And yeah, fantastic day out.
Hey, so your parents could be doubly proud.
Absolutely.
So speaking of architecture, let's go to 1980 and the wall. When this wall was actually built, did they call on your expertise to construct this wall?
They didn't need to, because what happened was that, in fact, we used architecture or architecturally trained people a lot for a lot of the things we did. And there was a guy called Mark Fisher, who was a contemporary of ours, and he was at a different architecture school. But he and his Jonathan Park were the people who came in to design the tumbling wall. And that's sort of been a little bit of a sort of Floyd history throughout. We had lighting designers who were ex-architects, and one of them, Arthur Max, ended up still is working with Ridley Scott, has done for years. But very talented people who came and sort of liked working in our environment.
Mm. All right. Can you confirm? We talked to a friend of ours, Larry the Doc, who worked at WLIR, and he told a story about at intermission of the wall in New York at the Nassau Coliseum, that there was an electrical issue and that it was a tough enough production to go on anyway. Do you know of this? Like during intermission, there was a scramble because the electronics weren't right?
I don't remember it. I do remember when the whole stuff in the roof at the sports arena caught fire, and that was a bit of a moment and had to be corrected before we could continue. But the history of our rock and roll shows is full of dramas and things that broke and things that exploded. There was a fantastic one in Detroit, I think it was, where we had so much pyro, and for some reason someone doubled the dose and this thing exploded. And I think a couple of people in the audience were hit with shrapnel from this, but still came back for the second half.
And that's why metal fans like Pink Floyd, because you never know.
Maybe that's it. It's explosions or fireworks and really dangerous toys.
Flying pigs. Last question just about animals. I know everyone kind of asked you about that, but was that just kind of why Pink Floyd is no more? Is just this, it took 4 years for a reissue of a record to come out?
Of reissue of a sleeve note.
Of the sleeve note, exactly. It took 4 years to write these notes.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean the end of Pink Floyd, it just means it won't be till sort of 2025.
David Gilmour just said that there's a possibility that Pink Floyd may, you know, the two of you may get together. Could that possibly happen?
It could possibly. I was the one who always used to go, yeah, no, we could do it again. as I say, if the sleeve notes are a problem. And I have to say, I'm really happy doing the Source Full of Secrets stuff at the moment. And I really like to sort of carry on with that for the moment.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So we look forward to seeing you. Any surprises that we can expect on your tour?
I don't want to sound pedantic, but how can you expect to see a surprise? Get back to me on that one.
Well, we look forward to seeing you on the road. Thank you very much, Nick.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Nick.
So, a quick chat with Nick Mason, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame drummer of Pink Floyd, but still pretty exciting to talk to royalty and to learn about A Saucer Full of Secrets. I keep saying A Saucer Full of Secrets because that's the name of the album. But the band is called, what is the band called, Holly?
The band is called Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets.
Yes, and they're in the middle of a U.S. tour right now. You can hear this music that rarely gets played.
And we're going to see them. We're going to see them at the Orpheum Theater in Los Angeles on Tuesday, October 25th. I'm very excited about this. And if you happen to be there, come see us as well.
Exactly. Say hello. Next week, we get to talk to two members of Nick's band. Who might that be, Holly?
That might be guitarist Gary Kemp, who we have previously spoken to when he released his own solo album last year. And our listeners know him from Spandau Ballet. And Guy Pratt.
Considered an honorary member, I guess, of Pink Floyd. So just a reminder to subscribe because we have new episodes every Friday. And where can they find us on social media?
At WDDIM Podcast and on YouTube at What Difference Does It Make Podcast.
Sounds great. So then, until next time, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.